All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Kings and Priests podcast. I'm here with the one and only Matthew Shackelford. Hello,
what's
Matt.
What's up? What's going on, man?
So Matt's a really, really good friend. We've been business partners. We've been buddies. We've traveled around the country building business together. We've walked through it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to have you on the podcast. We've literally been trying to make this happen for like months, and you're just, you know, you're too busy. Your schedule is like...
I'm so busy.
Every time I try and get you on the show, you're on another vacation. You live on vacation.
I wish that was true. It's definitely not true. But you know, it is what it is. We're 3 hours difference. I have two kids. You only have one.
Yeah.
You're lagging a little bit behind, but
it's true.
We made it happen. Here we are.
I lag a bit behind in every area of my life. It's the story of my life. I'm a late bloomer across the board. So, okay, I want to talk about this current project you're working on that is launching in a couple of months. But before, let's just get some backstory. Tell us about Conjure. So you are a pastor, local church pastor at your church. You have been in ministry.
I'm not a senior pastor.
You're not a senior pastor. You are a, what would you
I'm a pastor's call? Husband.
You're a pastor's husband.
Aren't you?
I know the feeling. We always talk about that. Same. We're the pastor's
Our wives
husband.
Are awesome. We married up for sure. Mm-hmm.
But you have a business called Conjure that you started kind of in crisis mode, actually. How long ago was that now?
It's actually 10 years ago this month.
Wow. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, man.
Isn't that incredible?
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Give us like the 3-minute story of how you started Conjure, what Conjure is, and you know, the vision behind that.
Yeah, I mean,
because I think it actually really does inform this other project that you're working on.
Yeah, I think to a degree it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of layers to like how I started it. And I tell this like when I am going to see, I've told this version of the story. When I've gone and seen clients or whatever, major companies, and they ask, like, how did I get started? And, you know, I've never been able to look somebody in the eye and remove the God element of like starting this business. I didn't start this business because I had a great idea. It was more like God was like, hey, it was like he almost sat me down. Son, this is what you're going to do.
Yep.
You're going to start this business. Like, good old, like, Texas dad, like, sitting me on his lap and saying, this is what you're going to do, son. And that's kind of how it started. I had a mentor of mine that was, he was my boss at the company I worked for at the time. And he was doing this same kind of business. And I ended up leaving that company for various reasons, just always wanted to work for myself, had no clue what I wanted to do. And so he kind of recruited me to work for the company that he started on the side or had on the side before he got hired as the head of marketing at the company that I was at. So he had a business that managed artists. Then he became our head of marketing at the brand I worked for and was doing both. Mm-hmm. And basically, like, I left the company I worked for, and he recruited me to come work for his artist management company.
Mm-hmm. And when you say artist management, it's like
graphic designers, create like visual artists, that sort of thing. So, anyways, he recruited me, but because I had left that company, he actually never got clearance from the CEO of the company that we both worked for. And he told me he had clearance and all this stuff. So I just trusted him because I'm like, why would my mentor lie to me that he hadn't got approval? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, it was more like a good old boy, like baseball, like, you know, the unspoken rules of baseball kind of deal. Like, did he have to like get permission? No, he didn't. But like, you really want to, because it'd be a conflict of interest. And so anyways, I started recruiting all these artists for him and started working for him. And then I was at Presence Conference, the conference of C3 Church. Hey, we were at Presence Conference. I was in this meeting at the conference, and Presence is the C3 global conference that we used to run before COVID. And I was sitting that, and it's the closest thing I've heard to the audible voice of God, where he said, you know, what you're doing for him, you're going to do for yourself. And I actually laughed at God, because I was like, I don't want to leave. He's my mentor. Like, I love him. I don't want to leave him. And he's like, I was like, well, God, you'll have to open up every door. And it was kind of like, I don't know if you're allowed to say this, but like, God was like, okay, hold my beer. Watch me. Mm-hmm. I'll open every mm-hmm. door and window that you need to go through. Yeah. Just trust me to walk through it. And so basically, a bunch of crazy things happened. I won't get into all of it, but 3 months later, June of 2012, I ended up like starting my own shop and started working with a couple artists. And basically what we do is, we do all the business logistics, like helping like high end graphic design talent. So we're like the studio management partner, the business partner mm-hmm. for, and right now we only work with four artists and designers, just for my sanity.
Yeah.
Like it's about all I really want to deal with.
You've scaled it. There's been times where you brought it back down. Everything you've done is very intentional.
Yeah. Right? We've scaled it to like 10 or 15 at, mm-hmm. at times. You and I worked together doing that, mm-hmm. like managed artists, did business development. And very stressful. Like the bigger yep. this business gets, the more stress it brings. But it doesn't necessarily bring more.
The ROI on it doesn't scale.
It doesn't scale. So it's actually mm-hmm. you're better off keeping it small and nimble. For me, the way I want to run it, because I don't want to be stressed out all the time. So we handle really all the quickly, negotiating and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So really quickly, so the people that listen to this podcast. A lot of them do lifestyle businesses. A lot of them are trying to figure out how to turn a side mm-hmm. hustle into a full-time job. I think in the world of like entrepreneurship content these days, yep. it's all about like building the next unicorn, the next 100x company.
Right.
Like unless you're going to change the world, you know, don't bother building the business. And it's, and like, but I know you.
Steak
I know,
and potatoes, cash flow businesses don't seem to be very in fad right now.
Yeah. But what's cool about what you've done is like, you've been able to build like a very, essentially for the most part, zero overhead other than you.
My house. Yeah.
In your house business. And have managed to build like a really strong lifestyle business that's allowed you mm-hmm. to like still be super involved.
Go on vacation all the time.
Your kid's life, be on vacation all the time. You've been able to like actually pull the right levers as the years change and as the seasons change for it to best serve you. I don't know, like just give me like a quick minute long explanation on maybe that's why like the first step someone needs to take. I think people think like, I'm going to go start a thing. It's going to be $30 million business. And it's almost like maybe this is a great first step for some people to find a problem to solve that will allow them to build a good life and, you know, work for themselves.
Yeah. I think for me, it comes down to if anyone asks, this is kind of what I tell them. Like, I think there's a couple layers. I think figure out what you enjoy doing. I think James Clear had a quote about that in his newsletter today. Like if along the lines of, if you're doing what you love, it won't feel like work kind of deal. Mm-hmm. So like mm-hmm. find what you love doing, because what you love doing is probably what God has graced you to do. And he's gifted you to do that. So pursue that. And then I find like, if you're pursuing what you love to do and what you're graced to do and what you're passionate to do, you'll work hard at it, and it'll also come naturally easy compared to people who aren't graced to do that thing. And I think if you become really good at it and you work hard at it, you'll become an expert at it, and mm-hmm. people will pay you for your expertise.
Yeah.
And so I think too many people are getting into businesses just because of the financial upside, mm-hmm. but the financial upside in that business doesn't line up with their skill set and their passion,
right?
And even like God-given gifting. And you aren't limited by those things, but God, like, it really helps to swim with the current if you can. Like, why swim upstream if you don't have to? And I think you see anyone who's doing success in business or success in tech or real estate or whatever, it's because there's probably a lot of natural proclivities they have within
that
those areas.
That lends well to that business.
Right. So then you match the thing that they're naturally gifted to and the thing that they're pursuing, and it's like, boom, they found that. It's kind of like, you know, Dean talks all the time about product market fit. It's like, what's the personal product market fit for your life? Mm-hmm. And the problem is, you know, you have, I'm sorry, but you have like idiots like Gary Vee out there, like that run their mouth and just say, hey man, hustle, hustle, hustle.
Right.
Like just hustle, just marketing, marketing, marketing. And it's like, well, man, if you're not wired that way, you're going to be miserable and you're probably not going to succeed and you're going to feel like an idiot and a loser and a failure.
Right.
So what good does that? So if you're like, if you're wired like Gary Vee, man, go listen to Gary Vee. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, like, it's okay to like not have to be like Gary Vee.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean,
you don't
want to
make, you don't want to make vlogs every day and, you know.
No, I don't want to grift my parents' wine business.
Shackelford coming in with the hot takes. I don't know much about Gary Vee. He's a brother in the Lord.
Is he?
I don't know. So, okay. One other thing on Conjure and just on you personally, and then we'll get to Abode. One thing I love about you, one thing that I've always appreciated about you, is that you actually really do involve God in your business. Mm-hmm. And you're pretty aware of your proclivities, your gifts, your strengths, what you enjoy, what you don't enjoy, the things that cause you stress that's not worth it. And you really do you've built this business around that. But you also really do go to God in a real way about your business. Mm-hmm. What is like super practical? What are what's it like for you to involve God in your business beyond just like, I got faith, I'm gonna do it? Like, you talk to God about the most like practical details of your business regularly.
I do. Yeah. Just about every day. I just name it and claim it, brother. And it just
name it and claim it.
I'm a 10-year hot streak. Name it and claim it.
Decree and declare that money.
Decree and declare. Well, you know, man, I think like God opened the door. God brought in all these insane, impossible circumstances. God brought these insane connections that I have. Like, I have no business doing what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm not really, you know, I kind of joke, if I was born in China, I'd probably be making shoes. Like, I'm a 3.0, just like average as they come. In terms of
you're pretty
of, like,
average. I'd attest to that. You're pretty average.
Just very average. I mean, like, you know, whatever. And God has opened up every door. And I find like when I go try to open them on my own without even just talking to him first, it usually doesn't work. I usually come back to like the straight and narrow. And I found myself complaining a lot over what God has given me over the years. And coming back and God taking me through a long winding journey of gratitude and contentment in what he's given me and not comparing what I have, you know, to somebody else. And so for me, like I stay in that place because that's where the security is. I'm deeply dependent on God. And so I honestly pray every day. I'm not a good sales guy. I'm not a good business development guy. I'm not a great person who can go out and like find business and find,
you know,
all
what
that
you
stuff.
Are, you know what you are good at though? And I learned this from you.
Okay.
You so don't think about the sales aspect of it and you come in hot with the pricing and do not apologize for it. And your perspective is like, I'm going for it and I'm not afraid to hear no. And I think that's a lot of the value that you bring, because like I learned that from
that's
you.
Cool.
Like I've always stressed about like, I don't want to push them away. I don't want to, you know, especially when you're putting together the kind of deals that you and I, you know, put together, it does feel very much like you get one shot at it. And if it's not agreed upon immediately, the deal could totally go away. And you're just kind of like full send. this is what I think it's worth. This is what I think we can get. And literally most of the time people are just like, okay.
Yeah, or they walk away and it's like, if I go down to a lower price, then I'm gonna be pissed off that I'm doing it for cheaper and you're gonna be more complaining and have more demands. And I wish I would have never taken the project on. And it's ended up gonna be a negative profit job. Mm-hmm. So each artist only works on maybe 15 to 20 projects a year. I don't need a lot of yeses. I need the right yeses.
Right.
So like if you're telling me no, you don't want to afford us, fine. Or you don't have the budget, fine. Like I don't take it personally. But a lot of the artists don't believe that as well. So I've like let all those guys go we're not synced together, you know?
Well, that's the next thing I was going to say is you've really, for lack of a better term, curated the people that you're in partnership with. So you know that your artists know that you're not going to be selling them on, you're not going to just want to put them on any and every project that comes their way, because that's not the lifestyle that they've set up. And that's not actually how they want to monetize their artistic ability. So there's this mutual understanding. And I know you and I have worked on that in the past where it's like, we have some artists that are just like, I want to work on anything all the time at
totally
any price.
Fear driven.
And totally fear driven. And
I can't work with that. I literally am led by faith that God is going to provide. And so I guess to answer your previous question is I pray and ask the Lord every day for open heaven and opportunities for all four of my artists and just pray for their lives and pray for their financial blessing. And I just contend for them and I just let God do his thing. And when they kind of start getting itchy, I'm just like, man, I don't know. I'm praying that God will open the doors. He's always provided. And everyone I work with is actually a Christian, which is kind of crazy in this industry. But it's not like overly spiritual. Like I had one of my guys this week was like, we've been on like a really cold streak. And I just said, man, I just woke up and I felt like something had shifted. Like I just had this insane peace. And I said, man, I just believe it's going to be an incredible week. And I think he's got like 5 or 6 project leads this week. And he goes, dude, I have always believed you about the spiritual, like praying for stuff. But he's like, I really believe you now. Like, this is insane.
Yeah.
So, man, I don't know. It's like if you hold it too tight, then you get freaked out. And it was like, man, it was never yours to begin with. So just hold it loosely. Hold it, but hold it loosely.
Take it light, but take it, as they say.
Yeah. And there's I could wax on about a ton of that. More,
so tell me about Abode. So we're going to do, in August, we're going to do kind of a full episode dedicated to this.
That'd be
but
cool.
Give us like the quick teaser, like first, like what is it? And then how did you guys kind of get to this place? Because this is a really fun project.
Yeah. So Abode is basically your digital home online. I think every single person who participates on the internet, social media, you know, content consumption, content creation, all the things, like our lives are increasingly more digital, not less digital, right? And we're all spinning all these digital plates. Like if I meet Michael Whittle for the first time, I'll Google him. And if you're super active online, like I'll see your LinkedIn, I'll see your Twitter, I'll see your Facebook, I'll see your Instagram, maybe I'll see your Spotify, or I'll see Vast, I'll see whatever on there. And it's like, I have all these different layers of who Michael Whittle is online. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just started asking myself, like, we're spinning all these plates, but like, what if there's one place, like one home that you could like, look at Michael Whittle and you could see everything. You could see all of Michael Whittle's interests because we believe that like what you're interested in says a lot about who you are as a person.
Yeah.
It's like if you look at someone's car with a bunch of stickers on the back, you can tell who they are and what they're into very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like they're all they are icons, beacons for what they believe, what they're into, what they love. And I can tell a lot about you as a person by the bumper stickers on your car. Like I can tell a lot about you as a person by the books you read, the music you listen to, the podcasts you follow, the videos you love on YouTube, the pictures you post on Instagram. Like, and I may not know you, but I could have similar interests as you. And like, we could really connect on a really cool human level, which the internet was like that, you know, prior to really Web 2.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook really took us to this new place where it was like really cool at the beginning. And then it got really weird quickly with advertising and the algorithm.
Yeah.
Right. But before, like, the internet was just a bunch of nerds like corralling around different pools of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're basically like, what if we could create a place where I could see everything that makes Michael Michael in one place, like one home? If I walk into your real life home, I see your art, I see your books, I see you got like a little cocktail bar over there. Like, I see whatever, and I can see everything. I may not know everything about you, but man, I'll get a good feel of who you are and maybe want to get to know you even more.
Right.
And so we felt like, man, there's not a home base like on the internet that reflects who you are as a person. You know, a lot of us have just really become like chum for the algorithm. Like we're data points. We're not human beings online. And we see that in like the crazy separation online. You go on Twitter and it's just like the encampments on both sides are crazy.
And those both sides get amplified beyond anything that's reasonable gets silenced, and anything that's extreme gets amplified, right?
Yeah, because the reality is like, you know, what if what's a good TV show? Like, I don't know.
The
like,
Wire.
Tom Cruise. I just saw Top Gun last night. Like, phenomenal movie.
Yeah.
But like, you could be super far right and super far left and both be into the new Top Gun movie.
Yeah.
Right? Hypothetically. What if you got to meet somebody and your first connection point was that you both loved Top Gun? Right. The fact that one of you loved Trump and one of you hate Trump.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because like, if we can find like a common human bond and ground of what we're both into or what we enjoy, like, our lives would be like much different online.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like, we are building what we view as and what we call as the digital home. And you know, we're on a mission really to just like make the internet more human, because the internet is getting less human, not more human. Like I said, I think I use the term like, we're chum for the algorithm. We're human. We're data points. We're not human beings.
Got
anymore.
It.
So what if we could create like a little place that was more human focused?
Yeah.
And
it's not trying to like sell product. It's not trying to, it's at least in its first thing in terms of like my abode, right? Cause I would set up my abode, and it's not necessarily like a center for commerce for me to monetize myself. It really is essentially my personality on display, who I am, in a way that maybe is not performative like a lot of the other social media platforms would be, right?
Correct. Yeah. It's like, I mean, the sky's the limit of how we'll be able to monetize this thing.
Yeah.
Because we are starting a business. Like, hey, we're not starting a nonprofit. Like, we do need to create revenue. But like, could there be a more human way to create revenue where if there is a product or there is marketing product or whatever, that it's genuinely a value add to your life.
Yeah.
Not like tricking you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I mean? Like my son who's 7 plays Rocket League, is like a video game. Like basically you have a car and you run around and it's like you play soccer, but with cars, and it's free. It's free to download like Fortnite. But then like I saw my email and he had spent like $10 on like custom Rocket League cars. And I was like, how the heck did you spend $10? Like,
right.
And it was like, you don't have to spend $10 to play Rocket League and enjoy it. But like, if you're really into it, like, then it's there and it's a value add to you.
So is this like,
we're not getting too far down that.
How did the genesis of it, like, what did it start out as? What did the idea come from? And then what is it now? And why did you guys make that pretty strong pivot. Like, give us that, and then we'll like leave everybody waiting till August for the rest.
Yeah, and you can sign up for our wait list at abode.social or get.abode.social.
Right.
So that way you can be notified when we launch the beta, hopefully in August. So yeah, last winter I was just, I started following NFTs because I was really interested in them being potentially a revenue stream for my artists that we talked about. Mm-hmm. I started following those like late 2020 and really intrigued. I'm like, man, this technology is the future. Very cool. I still think we're in the early days of NFTs. But you know, at the time I was thinking NFT art, like what do I do? What do I do with it when I buy a piece of artwork?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do I display it? Can I display it? You know?
Right.
And you know, there have since been like NFT galleries and things like that, that pop up, which are really cool and really neat. But I just got me thinking to a bigger conversation. Like, what if there was a place like a home on the internet that I could display everything that I was into?
Yep.
And everything that like made me, including like NFT artwork, right? Mm-hmm. Or if I start, you know, next time I go to Disney World, what if they give away free NFTs for being in the park that day? Like how, yeah, it'd be really cool if I had a home to like display that in. Cause I'm like, yep, really into, you know, I went to the Masters a few years ago and I got this flag and I'm like, yep, what if they give me an NFT for going to the, yep, Masters? Like it would be super dope if I had a place to display that. And so we started thinking
as
about
opposed
a home.
To, yeah, as opposed to just some crypto wallet somewhere.
Yeah, or I'm going to post it on my Instagram. Like, yep, cool. Like,
yeah, right.
Who, yep, cares? And so, you know, I have like my, it's really messy, but I got like a bookshelf and I got all these like trinkets and stuff in here.
Yep.
And I'm like, people like displaying crap. Like it just,
yep,
because it says who they are. It's an indicator of who they are. And so I was hanging with Dean's son, Barn. Jake's brother. And I was like, man, what if we had to like, what if you had this home? And I said, I would call it abode because it's like your humble abode. Like it's who you are. And you know me, I'm very on the nose with stuff. So mm-hmm. I was like, that felt right. And he's like, dude, that's insane. We should build that. Yeah. So we started building it. Barn is a genius in every area of tech and business and all that stuff. So he's like, dude, mm-hmm. I'll build it. No problem. Yeah. So I was like, great.
Yeah.
And, we kind of like lost our way a bit and we started just building like our own NFT marketplace and ecosystem.
Yeah.
And then we realized how insular the NFT art community was, which,
yeah,
I think is really cool. But it just wasn't for us. Like we hadn't ever even bought an NFT. Like,
right.
So it, and we weren't actually really interested in NFT art.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're like, we would love to build a product for those people, but we should probably be those people. And we realized,
first,
man,
yeah,
what we want to do is we want to build a home for just regular digital citizens. Like,
yep.
And our thing is like, we're like, we don't want to be the metaverse because you escape your real life to go to the metaverse.
Right.
And I said, I'm so out on that because technology is already an escape.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what if I could bring more of my real life into my digital life?
Yeah.
Because if I meet you online, like it's chances are it's in a Twitter thread or something of something that I'm not already agreeing with you on and that I,
yeah,
or I super agree with you on, but I don't actually like you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
We just,
mm-hmm,
agree on this one take. And I'm like, it's just much less
sort of like humanizing. Human. Yeah. It's like humanizing your online presence versus trying
to make the internet more human.
Creating an avatar, which is like sort of that new idea, right? It's like, I can be whoever I want to be online. And that can be as different as I am in real life as I want. And this is sort, right, of like, what if it was actually just an amplification of who we were in real life?
Right. I want to bring more of my physical into the digital, not escaping my physical into the digital.
Yeah.
So that's where Abode came. And so our mission is to make the internet more human. So we really like, if you're watching this, you're like, dude, I love everything that y'all are saying. Like, then you're perfect for Abode. Like we believe it's for human beings. So if you're a human on the internet, Abode is for you. And you know, the vision behind the product is how do we make the internet more human? Well, we build a home for people to reflect their interests and connect with other human beings on a human level.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the product will work where you sign up for free. And we have all these API integrations. You can, with one click, connect your Instagram account, your Spotify account, your YouTube account. You can put your favorite books, your favorite sports teams. just general interest, and all of it will pre-populate into this really cool, like, isometric 3D home. Yeah. And so everything that Michael's into will be displayed in this, like, really cool home. And one day you'll be able to customize it more. But, you know, imagine, you know, if you love Elon Musk, or, you know, you love, you know, Taylor Swift, whatever, and, like, you went to their abode, and maybe you follow them on Instagram, or obviously on Spotify if they're an artist, you get one segment of their life. But have you ever thought to go see, like, what they're reading? Like, how cool would it be to see, like, what Elon's reading, or what Elon's listening to, or what Elon's watching?
That's a good point, because with Twitter, let's say specifically, you just get people's ideas or just their thoughts. But there's something more.
You don't really naturally go look at them on another platform.
But if Matt and I disagree on Twitter, but then I can see their abode and go, oh, this is the playlist they were listening to today. Or this is...
Well, shoot, we have a lot... Their movies are my favorite movies.
Yeah, we have a lot more in common than we think we do, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, that's cool. And when's it launching?
So our waitlist is live now. You can sign up for that. And then
what's the
goal
site?
Is to launch abode.social.
Cool, abode.social.
So Abode speaks to our vision. We want to give people a home online. And social speaks to our mission of making the internet more human. So... It's going to be beautiful. The product is going to be absolutely amazing, even in its beta that we launch in August. But you know, we're in this for the long haul. We're gonna build it and see where it goes. We have no clue where it'll go. You know, we've pivoted it a couple times. We've built it completely from scratch in house with a couple of people, and I think it could do some good, and I think people could really have fun with it and just go online. Just to have fun and to, you know, not like have to monetize themselves and their interests and all that stuff. Like, I could just go on and just be a human being and connect with other human beings. How refreshing.
Yeah. Love that.
Like in a very fun, playful, like kind of lighthearted environment that's super safe and secure because, you know, we're not sharing and selling the metadata to people.
Right. Cool. Dude. I love it.
So, yeah, man.
Abode.social. We'll have you back on in August to talk more about it. If you're listening and you dig it, though, go to the website, sign up for the invite list. What is it? What are you calling it?
Just the wait list.
Just the wait list. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
And we'll have you back
We won't email you really at all until we like launch the beta.
Yep.
And then we'll just kind of teach you how to use the product when we launch it. But it'll be very simple, couple clicks, and you'll be good to go. And you'll have this completely custom 3D home for yourself. So
love it. Cool.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you, dude. We'll definitely have you on again. And we love you.
We love you too.
Love you.
Well, thanks, brother.